Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And today's show brought to you by our great friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. The beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews. Best selection of beer anywhere. I don't care whether you're going someplace this weekend or somebody's coming to your place. You need to be fully stocked. You have to. And Brewers Outlet's the place you're fully stocked. Soda, water, snacks. They roast the peanuts fresh and hot every day. And that pickle bar is second to none with a wide variety of great pickles on the pickle bar. Love the dills, love the barrels. That's just my personal taste. And you'll find something there that matches your personal taste. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Last night, Oklahoma advanced to the West Regional Final at the Honda Center in Anaheim as they blew out Texas A&M 77-63. Kevin Kugler with the call on Westwood One.
Cousins, a little crossover, a jab step. Just working the dribble on that left wing. Cousins attacking, dishing, Woodard three, right wing. Good, and a foul! Woodard hits the three, and a chance at a four-point play as Alex Caruso commits his third personal foul.
The outstanding Kevin Kugler. Kevin went to dinner with Dick and me out at Michigan State, and Jeff Tarman was there as well. And Kevin's just one of the really great guys. Based out of Omaha, does an outstanding job. And Kev told me he's going to be doing the Final Four. He's going to work with John Thompson. And there may be one other, because it used to be Bill Raftery was with him, but now it's with John Thompson in the Final Four. So it's Kevin Kugler with a call on Westwood One. Now, when they get to the Final Four in Houston, and Kevin's on hand for Westwood doing that one, the big question is going to be, will, for example, North Carolina be there? I think it's an interesting question. Let's get some. In order to get there, though, they're going to have to get through Indiana tonight as the next step, step number three. And with that, we will bring in Patrick James from TarHeels.com. Welcome. Great to have you with us. And, Patrick, we know if I lay out all the pluses North Carolina has as a basketball team, it's a pretty long list. If you're going to list the negatives for North Carolina, it's a short list. But on that short list, three-point shooting. They only had 31% this year overall for the season, 28% in ACC play. Is there anybody out there in that roster that actually gives Roy Williams some reliability outside?
Yeah, I mean, all season long, you know, it's kind of been, you know, waiting for that person to step up and really make those shots from beyond the perimeter. And, you know, and there are guys on this team who are capable of doing so. You know, we've seen in the past where Marcus Paige has really been, you know, a pretty lethal threat from beyond the three-point arc. And while he has had his struggles this season, there have been a few games here and there where he's really stepped it up. And you've seen some more and more in recent games during a third season play where he started to look a little bit more, a little bit sharper from beyond the arc. You also have Justin Jackson there, the 3/4 position, where, you know, he can really, you know, be that guy. You can really score for them. You know, he hasn't done so much this year where he's been able to make his shots from beyond the perimeter. You know, coming in, you know, and even at the tail end of last year during ACC tournament play, he was really, you know, excelling from beyond the three-point line. And the guy who's really been the best three-point shooter, I'd say, for him so far recently has been Joel Berry, their point guard. He was 7/10 from behind the arc here in the ACC tournament, and he still made a few here so far in the first two rounds of the NCAA tournament. So those three guys are all capable of stepping up for them.
I felt that if they hit just four or five in the game, they're good enough inside to win games. And I think even tonight, if they hit four or five, I mean that's a minimal number in today's game. But I think that's good enough based on their inside game. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree with that. You mentioned that inside game. you know, instead of dominant.
Bryce Johnson is just tremendous. I mean, a great back-to-the-basket player.
Yeah, and they really, you know, the big thing for them is, you know, being able to, you know, work around him. You know, they've been trying to do a little bit more of, you know, working that inside out, like you mentioned before. And you've seen at times where, you know, when they are hitting on all cylinders, where, you know, this offense, I don't know if there's many offenses that can quite keep up with them in terms of, you know, that inside-outside game. Well, it'll be big for them, you know, obviously, you know, if they can get some extra help, you know, for Bryce here in the ninth game down low, you know, with Isaiah Hicks or Kenny Meeks. And Isaiah has been absolutely tremendous for them over the past couple of weeks.
Yeah, Hicks has been really good for them along the way. Meeks has been obviously really good for them along the way. But I want to get to Johnson here for a moment. I know at the end of the Duke game, it seemed like they forgot about him, the one that was at Carolina. I'm sorry to bring up bad memories for you. But how important is it to constantly keep him engaged in what you're doing offensively?
Yeah, I mean, it's always been a big thing for Roy. You know, he keeps talking about how, you know, he hasn't stopped being as hard as possible on him, you know, since he arrived at UNC as a freshman. You know, he's really tried to, you know, take the advice. You know, Bryce, his father was his high school coach down in Orangeburg, South Carolina. And what Roy's always said, you know, is that he's tried to, you know, take the same approach that his father had with him and just really try to push him. You know, and Roy just said yesterday that he still hasn't seen Bryce reach his full potential. So there's still so much room for him to grow. You know, and that has been a thing. You know, you mentioned him being engaged. You know, you have seen times in the past where, you know, he hasn't, where, you know, he doesn't work as hard inside, you know, to get open. You know, they mentioned how, you know, he didn't get those touches there in that Duke game, that Duke loss. And most of that, you know, Marcus Page said was because, you know, he wasn't really working as hard to get involved down there in the post. So, I mean, that obviously has been an issue, but I would say that since that Duke game, you've seen where he's been, you know, he's kind of realized, you know, I can't take off any possessions. Like, you know, I need to constantly be battling down there low in the post.
All right, you mentioned Barry. What kind of job has he done in conjunction with Paige of controlling the tempo of games?
Well, Joel's been great, you know, really pushing the ball out. I would say that more so this year than last year, you know, he's been really doing a better job, you know, being able to get them in transition. You know, Marcus, you know, he's kind of, you know, slid over to that more of that, you know, two-guard position so far this year. And that probably fits him a little bit more in terms of, you know, being able to get him some looks. And while, you know, Joel, you know, he's done a great job, you know, because he is kind of a bigger point guard, like, you know, he's not tall, you know, that guy, he's got some muscles on him. And he really does a good job, you know, getting down into the paint, you know, being able to open up some shots for those guys, you know, along the outside, not necessarily from three-point distance, just inside the arc as well. And also, you know, kind of be able to facilitate, you know, be able to get Bryce involved down low as well. And Roy said the other day that, you know, Joel Berry's probably been the most consistent player that UNC has had so far this season. I really don't think you can disagree with that. You know, he's really come a long way from last year where he dealt with, you know, a lot of injuries, and he was sick for a little while too. And he's really, you know, what he's been able to do, especially over these past 2 weeks, is what, you know, has really allowed UNC to be able to reach, you know, more of his potential over these past recent weeks.
Indiana is not a great defensive basketball team. There are moments in watching them and in broadcasting games where they played against Penn State where there are some times where I felt like they only played defense because the rules dictated you had to. And then, oh, good, we get the ball back. What kind of defensive team has North Carolina been this year?
Well, it's kind of funny because, you know, at the beginning of the year, I feel like that was a major weakness. I feel like anybody would say that as well. You know, the defensive end of the ball was definitely a major weakness for this team. But, you know, over these past couple weeks, especially there in the ACC tournament, you know, this team has really locked down on the defensive side of the ball. And you've kind of seen how, you know, it's kind of, you know, cliche, but, you know, they really talked about how, you know, defense feeds offense. And, you know, and you've really seen a good example of that with UNC, especially, you know, in the ACC tournament. You know, they come out in that semifinal game against Notre Dame in the ACC tournament. And the way that they play defense, they limited them to 47 points. I believe, and, you know, they've held, you know, I think, believe 25 or 27, somewhere in there, consecutive opponents below 45% shooting from the field. Right. You know, that's really been huge for them. And, you know, it'll be big, you know, with your, that you mentioned with Indiana, being turnover prone a little bit more so than UNC, be able to take advantage of this opportunity to really, you know, push the ball into transition, you know, like Roy Williams teams like to do.
Yeah, when they play Penn State, that was actually something that Dick Girardi and I mentioned on our broadcast, that if you had to pick a weakness for Indiana, one is they're not the greatest defensive team in America. But for a team that has a great record, they turn the ball over more than most teams with that kind of record. That's what really surprises me about them. How is North Carolina with LBTs, live ball turnovers? Because that's a Michigan State weakness. You want to talk about the biggest weakness Michigan State has basketball team? Not good with getting live ball turnovers. How's North Carolina?
They've been doing a better job, kind of like get on the ground. You're going after some balls. In terms of, not turning the ball over as much, you've seen a significant decrease for UNC in terms of the turnovers they produce. Last year it was kind of in your middle of the pack in terms of the NCAA, in terms of their turnover percentage. But this year they're looking to be, this is the lowest assist turnover ratio I believe the UNC has had since the early 80s. And it's really been, a big part of that has been Joel Berry there at the point, like you mentioned earlier. He does a great job of, holding on the ball. For a while, I think he had one stretch where he didn't turn the ball over for about 7 or 8 games. And, so that's really a big thing for them. In terms of, being able to force those turnovers, they don't really force too many on the defensive end. But what they do is, because they play that fast tempo kind of play, they're able to get the other teams, kind of like into that mode as well. Obviously Indiana likes to play up tempo as well.
Right.
Because of their turnovers, I think that could help UNC if it becomes kind of a back and forth game that Indiana might be able to lose control of the ball a little bit more.
A lot of people would know about Marcus Paige, but they may not know as much about Justin Jackson. Tell us a little bit about some background on him.
Yeah, Justin Jackson, he comes from Humble, Texas, and Roy Williams, he always jokes around about how he came from Humble, Texas, a little town right outside Humble. And that's really a lot about his personality. His first couple of years here, he has had some trouble where he's been a little reluctant. He's a little bit, humble, honestly, in terms of, not really trying to take over a game. But, you've seen at times over these past weeks where he's been a lot more aggressive. He's really trying to get to the basket and be able to finish. And the big thing with him is, he has kind of this signature floater that he does, where he gets about, he can really make it from, the free throw line in terms of this little floater that he has. And but you've seen in recent weeks where he's kind of, gone away from that floater a little bit more, and he's been going more toward the rim. And I mentioned earlier, he is a threat from behind the arc to this team when he gets going.
Marcus Paige, I think the first game of the season he played was Maryland, correct, Patrick? I think for Marcus Paige, the first game he actually got into this year was the Maryland game.
Yes, sir.
Now, statistically, has not had a great year. He's slightly under 40% for the season. But what does he mean as a rudder on this team? What does his leadership mean as to how they play?
It's so huge for this team. I mean, you've seen at times where, he's really been the guy. He's kind of telling his team, calm down. I remember first game of the year against Temple, Marcus, he was sitting out. There was a play late in the game where Bryce went up for a dunk, kind of got knocked off the rim a little bit by one of the opposing players. And Bryce got up on his feet, he was kind of like hooping and hollering, the way he does. And Marcus came over to him right away. He's off to the side, wearing a suit and everything. And he told him, just calm down. This isn't what we're about. We have bigger goals and aspirations than this. And, you don't really need to show anybody up. And, in terms of that, that leadership is something that's always been evident. Even in recent weeks, Marcus has admitted, that his shot, hasn't been there as much so far this year. And that, he realizes he's not the number one offensive option on this team anymore. That's obviously Bryce Johnson. And, him and Bryce are roommates. And, Bryce and everybody else on this team will say, this team, while Marcus might not be the offensive threat that he once was or hasn't been so far this year, that this team still belongs to Marcus Paige, and that they really, survive by, the leadership that he brings.
This team, North Carolina, was 1-6 in games decided by 5 points or less. And I think everyone saw the Duke game. Then, since that point, since they lost to Virginia by 5 in Charlottesville, they've won 3 straight now in games decided by 5 or less. What has changed how they handle late game that has made them a more effective team in closer games?
They really, you said that about the Charlottesville game. That's something that I think really kind of stuck with them. As you mentioned, it was the Duke game, that Duke loss. It was pretty devastating for this group. And they come back, they had a really, amazing win against Miami where they completely blew them out.
Right.
And they kind of started building some steam heading into that game in Charlottesville. And then I think when they saw that game, you know, when they saw they lost that game, it kind of like really resonated with them that, you know, something needs to be turned up this year. You know, you saw in that Virginia game where they weren't going after loose balls, where at times their defensive intensity wasn't there. I know there was one play where Bryce Johnson, you know, he went up for a rebound late in the game, and it just went right off his hands and kind of rolled out of bounds, you know, so helplessly. And that really kind of like summarized that game that you mentioned. And I think, you know, those are the types of plays that you've seen this team make more and more over this final stretch. You know, I think that they've started to realize, you know, that it's kind of getting the crunch time, you know, to where it's the point, you know, like where we came in with so many expectations and everything entering this year. And now we really have to make sure that, you know, we capitalize on those. You know, we don't want to go out, you know, being the team, you know, that could have been.
Patrick, pleasure. Thanks so much. Enjoy Philadelphia. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So there you are, the preview of North Carolina and Indiana from each side. Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report, next half hour. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The Phillies are on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Swung on, belted, down the line. If it's fair, it's gone, and the game is over.
The Phillies on WKOK, sponsored in part by APW, Gracie's Flowers and Gifts, Gator Guns, Knoebels Amusement Resort, Midpen Beverage, Shade Mountain Winery, and Zimmerman Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram Truck.
Swing it a drive, deep, left field, into your back, track, wall, gone, grand.
Your home for Phillies baseball is News Radio 1070 WKOK.
We're getting closer to baseball season. That means the Philadelphia Phillies right here on your home for the Phillies News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Yeah, we have a three-game set this weekend. Tonight with the Blue Jays at 6:30. Tomorrow with Detroit, 1 o'clock. And then Easter Sunday with the Red Sox, the Sox, Sunday at 1. All here on WKOK. A little over a week away from games that count.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're looking forward to that. That's going to be quite a deal.
Yeah, check out our podcast page. If you missed the interview Steve did with Larry Anderson earlier this week, just go to stevejonesshow.com to Wednesday's podcast.
So we're looking forward to it. All spring, all summer, you're home for the Philadelphia Phillies. That is, I think that's one of the great moves we've made, getting them back on. I love the idea of, you know, we have anchor sports, Penn State football, Penn State basketball, Shikellamie football, Shikellamie basketball. But to get the Phillies in as one of our anchor sports, we're now there all year round with play-by-play.
This will be our first time running regular season Phillies baseball since 1984.
Wow. Well, I think it's
long overdue.
It's great. Yeah, long overdue. I think it's great. I'm thrilled about that. You know, as soon as I was told about that, I thought, wow, what a great move. Pete McCannon, by the way, did get a 2-year contract with the Phillies. And happy about that because, you know, that stability. I think he's the right guy at the right moment for them as to what they're doing. So I thought that was he just seems to be a really good communicator with these guys. And at this level, communication means everything. You have to be able to tell them, especially in this generation, just be direct. Look, here's the bottom line. He looks at Ryan Howard. Here's the bottom line. You know, left-handed pitching. All right, I'm going to put somebody else in there that can. Right, I'm not being a jerk about it. It's just I'm trying to help the team here. Maybe there's a bat that helps us better against left-handed pitching than yours. You know, and you know, against right-handed pitching, we're going to keep you out there. You know, we're going to give you shots from time to time against left-handers, but you're going to have to show us a little bit more. And you know darn well, the average, you know, the number's right there. It shows you. So he tells them straight out. It doesn't make them guess. Does not make them guess. And that's important. And he did. I thought he did, as Larry Anderson pointed out on the show earlier this week, he said, look, the last half of the season when he took over, he did a really good job. Ryan Sandberg was not the greatest communicator on the planet, with all due respect. He just wasn't. And you know, we all saw how they handled Cody Ashey. Yeah, they had this plan about sending him down to AAA to play the outfield. Okay, guess who the last person to find out was? Cody Ashey. He found out 20 minutes before he was being sent. Hey, we're going to do this. Is our plan. This is what we're going to do. Really? That's your plan? That's what you're going to do? Why don't you sit down with him 2 weeks ahead of time and say, look, we're thinking about this. Why don't you take some balls in the outfield, but we might send you down for about a month or so just so you can get used to playing the outfield. Just want to mentally prepare you for that possibility. Don't want it hanging over your head because the reason we're doing this is that we have confidence in you at this level. That's all you have to do. You don't have to spring it on them. It's no need. It's not some sort of secret society. Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. Coming up, final half hour. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And, of course, we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, key routes 11 and 15 in Humble
Grove. True refreshment can come in many forms. But it can only be found in one place, the Beverage Supermarket. Brewers Outlet in Sunbury. Along with their great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, they have lots of water, soda, fresh roasted peanuts, and an unbelievable variety of pickles at the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and your favorite snacks, too. Get true refreshment all in one place, the Beverage Supermarket. Brewers Outlet in Sunbury.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Ah, yes, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, K Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And it is now time for us to proudly talk about the great people at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews. It's a big holiday weekend. Stock up. Go over there now. Tell them I sent you. You're like, will I get a discount? No, but just tell them I sent you. Just
same with them. I said the same thing, too. So,
hey, what the heck? Oh, it makes us look good.
But they've got great specials to make up for it.
Great specials, imports, domestics, microbrews, water, soda, snacks. They roast the peanuts fresh and hot every day. Plenty of help to get the cases of the cars really well laid out. The pickle bar is great. What a wide variety. I love when Corey gives me the sampler. I love that. And I love in particular the dills, and I love the barrels. It's all the pickle bar. Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Plenty of free parking back there. Tremendous. Time now for our sports bozo of the day. And I don't know which way to go in this, but unfortunately I'm leaning to somebody I really like and respect a lot, and that's Coach K. I don't know what the heck was going on out there in Anaheim. He has a very thin team to begin with. And, you know, losing Jefferson really hurt them this year. And you're not going to be national champion every year. I mean, his record speaks for itself. His record is unbelievable. What do you, you know, the culture that's been created at Duke, I think, you know, certain things get overblown sometimes. Grayson Allen's been a little bit overblown. He hasn't helped himself either. And Oregon beat them last night, and they beat them soundly. There was not a close game last night. Villanova just blew out Miami. I mean, just ran them out of the gym. 1.55 points per possession. That's a stunning number to have. I mean, 1.2 is kind of like a gold-plus standard. I mean, 1.55 is beyond platinum. Oklahoma never trailed, blew out Texas A&M. Kansas and Maryland was a good game for about, 25 minutes, 27 minutes maybe? Then after that, nothing. And then there was this Oregon-Duke game that was a good game for about maybe 23 minutes. And then Oregon just put it to the floor and got him out of there. Look, Brooks is a really good player. Really, really good. great skill. And there was 13 seconds left. He's dribbling the ball. There's 6 seconds left in the shot clock. So instead of just like, boom, doing nothing, just putting the ball down and saying, hey, you know, here, you guys take it out of bounds. And he just kind of fired up a half-hearted shot and then celebrated after hitting it. And he threw it up from 35 feet, I might add. And he's like, hey, yeah. So it's all done, and then he goes to hug Grayson Allen. Allen's not going to have anything to do with him. He's like, get away from me, basically. And then going through the line at the end, and most coaches will stop the other team's great player or players and say something extra to them because most coaches appreciate, you know, what a guy brings to the table. I mean, I see it all. I've seen, you know, the number of coaches I watched stop Tim Frazier and DJ Newbill over the years, and how many stopped Taylor Battle and Joe Crispin, and, you know, and just talked to him a little bit extra than everybody else. This year was Brandon Taylor, just to say something to him about how much they appreciate him. And so when Brooks got up to Coach K, he stopped him and he said a couple of things. And afterward, Brooks said, he told him, he says, hey, you're too good of a player to be, like, I don't know, I'm going to goof this up, I think, in terms of what he said, but basically to showboat or something like that. And Brooks said that after the game. And they asked Coach K about it after the game. He said, look, I just told him he was a great player. Well, he said, you can believe whatever he said, man, it's up to you. But it seemed like he did say a little bit more to him than just, hey, you're a great player. Which is fine if he did or he didn't. But that was it, the end was awkward in what was a blowout. Look, Duke's not used to being blown out. Oregon's not. And here's two parts of this. Duke's not used to being blown out in a big game. And they were blown out last night. Duke's not used to being blown out in a big game. And Oregon's not used to winning. And Oregon's not used to blowing out Duke in a big game. How about that? So I'm not so sure either side handled it as well as maybe they should. They're competitors. Coach K's one of the great competitors of all time. When he was here with Joe Paterno in the summer of June of 2011, and the two of them were on stage with Reese Davis at Eisenhower Auditorium, it was some of the great 2 hours I've ever spent sitting there listening to two people. That's why I respect him so much. That's why I really hesitate, like, saying it's him. I mean, Brooks is a major contributor here to all this. And I've heard some people say, why should a coach lecture some other player about on somebody else's team that's Dan Altman's job? Well, you know what? Isn't the game bigger than that? I don't know. Well, Tony DeFazio from Pittsburgh Sports Report's about to join us. And I know we've got to talk about Pitt. Tony, welcome. It's great to have you with us on board today.
Pitt has to adjust. A lot of people are saying, get a big name. What big names are out there, Tony?
Yeah, you know, I think the problem with Pitt getting a big name for the basketball position, is the reason that they really haven't been able to do so in the past. There are a lot of good things about the Pitt job, Steve, but I think that the big issue is the recruiting base or lack thereof, and that makes it a difficult position. I mean, some of the names that you're hearing, some of the bigger names that you're hearing, or some of the established Division I Power 5 type coaches whose names you hear, are not going, would Andy Enfield want to leave the recruiting base in Los Angeles to go recruit, in the 412 area code? That's the reality here. There's a lot of good things about the job, the ACC, the facility. If you look at the past success, Pitt has been loyal to the coach. The coach has been loyal to the administration over the past 15 years. All of those things are good, very good. But at the end of the day, it is a difficult place to recruit, and Jamie Dixon found that out once Pitt moved to the ACC.
Is this a tipping point hire? In other words, here's Pitt right now slotted in the middle of the ACC. Is that fair to say? Right now they'd be about the middle?
Yeah, I think so.
Is this the kind of hire that takes them into constant competition with Miami, Notre Dame, Louisville to see who can take down Virginia, North Carolina, Miami? or conversely suddenly be fighting with Virginia Tech, Wake Forest, and Georgia Tech to kind of claim another part of the middle. Is that what kind of hire this is?
Yeah, I think that's the importance of this hire, no question. You know, a lot of people are going to tie Jamie Dixon's tenure to Ben Howland, and that's fair. They came to Pitt together. But before Jamie Dixon arrived at Pitt, Pitt was doing what you just said in the Big East. They were vying with the also-rans in the Big East. They had a, you know, an occasional season here or there when Charles Smith and Jerome Lane and you know, were a part of the program where they were at the top of that conference. But for the most part, this was a program that was really, you know, dead in the water in the Big East. So could it go back there very quickly? Yes, that is not such ancient history that falling back to that kind of a you know, of a program is unrealistic. So yes, I think this is a very big hire. Scott Barnes has a lot, you know, the new athletic director has a lot of basketball experience. He was on the NCAA selection committee for about 5 years, served as the chairman for a short time, played basketball at Fresno State. So this is the kind of hire, this is really his chance to put his stamp on something, you know, in a Power 5 conference, the first time he's had a chance to do that. So, you know, you have to think he's up to the task. I think he certainly feels he's up to the task. We will find out. Probably not a question we'll be able to answer at the press conference, and probably not one we'll be able to answer a year from now. Yeah, I think it absolutely is that important of a hire. It doesn't take long to slip. And, you know, Pitt can slip to that slope very, very easily if the right hire is not made. They're in pretty decent shape right now, right, currently, moving forward to next year with a lot of people coming back.
Right. I was going to ask that part. It sounds like they have a lot of veterans they can turn to on this team.
You know, they do, Steve. But, again, the nature of college basketball today is people are going to leave. I mean, you can almost say that for just about every team,
right,
going from one year to the next. There's only one guy who would be a candidate for a graduate transfer, and that would be Chris Jones, who was kind of a sixth man on this team. You know, again, you know, there are ways to you know, there are plenty of players who feel like they can find a better situation. So you can never count on everybody coming back. But all that said, yeah, they have, you know, they are in pretty good shape as far as veterans.
Right.
For next year, they've got to replace a point guard.
Over 700 players transferred last year, and about 750 the year before. It's amazing numbers. It's almost like looking at the waiver wire in baseball. Speaking of baseball, the Pirates are now going to come out of training camp. They got one more week to go. It seems like, for the most part, this roster is pretty well set. What did you think about the David Freese move of bringing him in?
I think it was a great move. I think it really answered a lot of their position-type questions, which they didn't really have many, but this certainly goes a long way toward answering them. He can provide insurance at a lot of different positions. And certainly, you know, we know it takes a lot of pressure off of Jung Ho Kang as well for, you know, when he's going to return, and he's been swinging the bat pretty well. He's been playing defense fairly well. He hasn't really been running the bases. And there's no need whatsoever to rush a guy back when you have a six-month season, and now you've got a guy like David Freese who can come in and possibly fill a hole, you know, in a permanent situation, possibly be a veteran bat off the bench, certainly provides a little bit of pop. Not a ton of power, but some legitimate pop. And, you know, he can also go back to putting Josh Harrison in that super sub role. And Clint Hurdle doesn't really come out and say it, but it doesn't take long to read between the lines. Clint Hurdle loves Josh Harrison in that role. Josh Harrison obviously wants to have an everyday job. But the way, you know, the way Hurdle has used him in the past, he does have an everyday job. It is that super sub role. So it gives them a lot of options, and really a lot of similar options to what they had last year. You know, it's a little bit different the way it shapes up, but the Neil Walker loss doesn't seem like such a loss now when you can fill that with David Freese.
Right. And by the way, Mick Cronin says he's staying at Cincinnati. That was another name that was mentioned in the Pitt search, and he says he's going to stay. When you look at the Pirates, the number five starter. I mean, I know Jeff Locke wants to keep that, but he's also getting pressure on that. How do you think that plays out?
Yeah, I think that's probably, you know, they came to camp with that as a question mark, and they're going to leave camp with that as a question mark. Locke did not really have a great camp. Jonathan Neese didn't have a great camp. Ryan Vogelsong pitched fairly well. And Juan Nicasio, a veteran pickup, actually put some pressure on both Locke and Vogelsong. You know, lost a lefty, and at the end of the day, if you're a lefty and you can have a sub-5 ERA, you're going to find a job in the major leagues. There's a lot of fifth starters worse than Jeff Locke, but on playoff teams, I'm not so sure that that's the case. So I think what the Pirates hope is that Locke can go out and fill that spot and then, you know, be pushed out of it by someone from AAA, whether it is Tyler Glasnow or whether it's Jameson Taillon. But I think they're hoping one or both of those guys are wearing Pirate uniforms, you know, sometime this summer.
All right. Thanks so much. Appreciate it, Tony. Have a great weekend.
You do the same. Thank you, Steve.
Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. We'll wrap up the week in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
True refreshment can come in many forms, but it can only be found in one place. The Beverage Supermarket, Brewer's Outlet in Sunbury. Along with their great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, they have lots of water, soda, fresh roasted peanuts, and an unbelievable variety of pickles at the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and your favorite snacks, too. Get true refreshment all in one place. The Beverage Supermarket, Brewer's Outlet in Sunbury.
All right, overnight TV from last night. Villanova Miami, which was the early game, drew 5.5 million viewers. Kansas and Maryland, the nightcap on CBS, drew 6.7 million viewers. Impressive. Now, TBS is not going to have the same ratings. Oklahoma, Texas A&M, 2.8 million viewers, but Duke, Oregon did well with 4 million in the late game last night.
And it didn't end until about just past midnight.
Yeah, I watched it to the end.
Me too.
I don't know why, Sean, but I did. I don't know. I just was in the mood just to watch the whole thing.
Same here. Yep.
So I did. And tonight, hopefully the games are better tonight, because last night the games were not good last night. They're all double-digit wins for the higher seeds.
I think one of the reasons I stayed up last night, anytime I get a chance to catch a game with Vern Lundquist, I just stay locked in.
Vern's good, and he's with Jim Spernarkle now, and Spernarkle's very good. Always the thought he was. I think Spernarkle had been with Iron Eagle before they took Bill Raftery and moved him. And Vern's good at everything. Vern's good at everything. I just always has been. I don't care whether it's golf or football or basketball.
He filled in on the Cowboys radio network and the Cowboys-Giants game last September. It was the first time in decades he did a Dallas Cowboys game on the radio network, filled in for Brad Sham.
Well, that's where he cut his teeth. That's where he started his road. Frank Glieber had been the Cowboys radio play-by-play guy, and then he moved to CBS, and then Vern did the job, and then Vern moved to CBS, and then Brad Sham's been there ever since. And I like Brad. You know, Lundquist. I've only met him on a couple of occasions. You know how affable and that big laugh he has on TV, that's him off the air, too. It's just the same kind of guy. It's the same guy. I mean, just big laugh, talking to me about, you know, Colorado and where he grew up and the whole thing. He's just a genuinely great guy.
CBS puts him up in his second home in Atlanta during the football season.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I didn't realize that. That's pretty good.
Home out in Colorado.
And then Brad Sham. And Brad's done an awesome job with the Cowboys over the years, and he's on Westwood One now doing regionals and has done that for a long time. So that's what you've got there. Let's see what Nance had last night's CBS game, so he's not going to have tonight's regions. So the week is now complete. Now we have to just see how the weekend plays out. By the time we're back with you on Monday, we'll have a Final Four. But we'll also be heading into the baseball season. We'll have one more week of spring training. Dick Girardi is going to join us on the show next week to talk about the Final Four in Houston. He was at the Villanova and Kansas games last night. He saw Oregon the week before. He is going to be at tonight's games in Philadelphia with Indiana and North Carolina and Notre Dame and Wisconsin. So he will have seen potentially three of the Final Four teams already in person in the last couple of weeks. That's impressive. So Dick will be on the show next week. John Wehner from the Pirates Network is going to join us next week. And so we've got a lot going on. On April 6th, we're going to have Tony Knopp, the CEO of Spotlight Ticket Management, back on to talk about the business of sports. It'll be on the day before the Masters.
And Kevin will be in his office feverishly listening to that.
Kevin loves the business of sports. It just like blew up everything he thought about. He thought everything was one gigantic kumbaya moment. He didn't realize there was a monetary exchange. And Jack Ham's going to join us the week of the Blue-White game. Trey Bauer is going to join us the week of the Blue-White game, along with Todd Sadowski. And we'll have some other beat writers on as well. So Dick Girardi next week, John Wehner next week. Week after is going to be Tony Knopp, the CEO of Spotlight Ticket Management. The week after that, it's going to be Jack Ham on the show. So we've got a pretty stacked deck here for the next 3 weeks. Plus, we have Phillies baseball for two of those 3 weeks. Love it. Great time of the year. A lot going on. And if any of the Big Ten teams make it to the Final Four, obviously, last night Maryland was lost. But if either Wisconsin or Indiana were to make it, we'd have either Matt LaPay or Don Fisher on the show next week, the voices of the team. We'll see. What a fun week. What a great week we had.
Enjoyed it a lot. I'll come back for another week.
I like it.
Me too.
Well, we're having a lot of fun. I hope you are, too. Next week, there'll be a Final Four to talk about. More baseball to talk about. And believe me, something crazy will happen next week. We'll be forced to talk about it. It happens every week where suddenly you sit there and say, all right, that's a curveball. I guess we've got to talk about that. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Stock up. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio. 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15.
We're your home for news, sports, weather, and your home for the Phillies. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.